The pianist is Christopher O'Reilly, an acclaimed concert pianist and the host of the public radio program From the Top. It's a showcase for young classical musicians ranging in age from 9 to 18, and it's powered by O'Reilly's own excitement about music of all kinds. Christopher O'Reilly was recently in Madison, Wisconsin for a concert just a few blocks from our studio. I went backstage a few hours before his performance. We talked about why most kids hate classical music. He says it has a serious image problem.
In my experience, both as a child and also as a grown-up, the idea of classical music has more or less been stay away from it unless you know everything about it.
When did you start playing?
I started when I was 4 years old, but it was more an ultimatum. My mother had taught me how to read at age 4, and so the nuns at St. Athanasius in Evanston, Illinois, said he's reading already, he's going to be bored, he's going to get into trouble. And so it was either French lessons or piano lessons at $15 a week.
Did you take to it immediately?
Yeah, I remember my first piano lesson and things made sense right away.
Was it all classical you were playing then?
It was, until I figured out that, you know, girls were not going to be very impressed with me playing classical music, and so I started my own little rock band in sixth grade. And from then on, dabbled in rock and sort of progressive jazz and things like that all the way through high school. And it's made no difference at all to girls in general in all that time.
Did you keep up the
yes,
classical while
was,
you were...
I was taking classical lessons.
So you were living a dual life.
I was having a professional career in high school playing jazz at Sunny Days Stage Door Club in Pittsburgh. And as a matter of fact, on a Friday night, I finished up at the club and took an all-night bus to Oberlin to do my audition Saturday morning and took the bus back to Pittsburgh and played Saturday night. So it was actually getting to New England Conservatory of Music, where I went to school, that, you know, that they had a very sort of Catholic idea of music. You know, there's good music and bad music, two kinds of music. I mean, there was always Duke Ellington's great line. And along the line, you know, working with the kids that I work with on From the Top, you have the sense that this is just something that they do, and it's something they can't live without. It may not be the only thing that they do, and that's what makes the performers on the show really interesting, is that they have these very full lives. And so that every time you listen to the show, there are five opportunities for an unschooled audience member to say, oh, I have something in common with this person, and listen to how they play. I can understand them as a person to a certain degree because we have soccer in common, or an interest in Israeli immigration, or an interest in, you know, laser tag or what have you. And, you know, that's the way in. And that's, I think, a particularly American idea, because even the art forms that are not particularly rocket science, like the movies, we still as a culture still want to know, you know, who Jack Nicholson is going out with and which one was in rehab. But for some reason, we're very much interested in the backstory.
Yeah, well, some people would say that that's so that we feel they're real people.
Right.
As opposed to something so far above us, so far in advance of what we can accomplish, mm-hmm. that we want to hate them rather than admire them.
Exactly. And that sort of pedestal feeling is uncomfortable as an audience member. You don't like to feel that way. Although part of what makes classical music so rewarding and so invigorating, even hundreds of years after it's written, is the sort of transcendent feeling that one can get from a great performance. And that sort of is a suspension of disbelief. And that's not particularly down-home empathy. I mean, that's real exaltation.
Going back for a minute to when you were young and playing the piano, you said that you began to play rock, you began to play jazz, you began to play things that you knew other kids
right.
would like. Did you also find other kids who liked playing classical
Oh, sure. music? But it was a small constituency. It was not widespread interest in classical music. I think classical music has kind of painted itself into a corner by the fact that in many cases people are very strict about concert attire and behavior, don't clap between movements, to the point where really, you know, people are really afraid to go to concerts.
Well, and they set classical music up as something separate from the other kinds of music that are in the world.
Yeah.
I ask you about that a little bit. You said you played rock. I assume you actually like rock. This wasn't simply a ploy to get girls.
Not just, no, but no, there were lots of bands that I liked, and there are a couple of bands that I still like, and so I've actually, you know, taken to playing some, you know, of my own versions of rock songs, as a matter of fact. But
somebody told me, in fact, you've done some arrangements of Radiohead?
A bunch of them, yeah. They're really my favorite. You know, Radiohead's my favorite band in the world. So I've done about 24 transcriptions. You know, as it happens, Radiohead has an enormous sort of crossover audience appeal. In other words, you know, the young music students in New York, you know, the Juilliard kids are all into Radiohead, or a lot of them who are into any other sort of popular music are often into Radiohead. I think a lot of it has to do, well, the sophistication of the music is quite extraordinary, I find. And I think, you know, the prevailing idea is that, you know, people like to be surprised by what they haven't heard and what they find that they like. And so we get a lot of email at the show asking, you know, who this Mr. Head is that they heard on the radio and where can they buy his music. So you just have to leave yourself open to the experience, and which is, again, the premise of the show, saying, you know, you don't have to know everything about the music.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you know, they're 13, 14, you know, 11-year-old kids. If I'm doing an interview as a performing artist, I've got my turf to protect. Gee, you should listen to me and nobody else. Here's a 14-year-old kid playing this piece because they enjoy it. They're not out to, you know, compete against somebody. They're there because this is their favorite piece that they're working on and they want you to hear it. And that's really, you know, a major appeal.
I have an excerpt from one of your shows with a young clarinetist.
Daniel, I think I've got the right music here. Why don't you tell everybody what we're going to play together?
This is Theme of Variations by Gioachino Rossini for clarinet and piano.
Take center stage, and we'll take it from the top.
Do you get only the very best young people? Because some of these young performers are extraordinary.
You know, the performances are great. I've got to say, you know, if you've got 4 minutes of music to prepare, I think you can, you know, probably get it together if you know you're going to be playing on national radio. But quite frankly, most of what we go for in terms of having the guests on the show that we do is, you know, aside from a certain, you know, proficiency on their instrument, is the, you know, the interesting lives that they lead.
Yeah. Now, you talked to this young man after the performance and got him to talk on national radio about very personal things, about how he plays his music, how what kind of life he leads, what he does. And you don't just stick to the music either, do you?
No, because so much of it has to do with the things that happen around performing. I mean, for instance, Daniel had his favorite place to practice was a fish-tanked room.
Yeah.
You know, these enormous fish tanks that, first of all, made for very nice reflective surfaces acoustically, and then also he had his captive audience, you know, the fish that would sort of...
He said they would bang up against the glass.
Yeah, they would sort of, you know, come closer to him, and so that's a sort of a nice thing.
My dad has discus, so they're flat fish, you know, with the eyes on opposite sides, obviously, and bright colors, and he has clown loaches and all kinds of other fish that come to the glass when I play.
They actually come to the glass and watch you?
Yeah.
Is there any particular music that makes them run away, or, you know?
I mean, it's just mistakes make them
just
run away,
squeaks,
I guess.
And all of a sudden, you know.
You have a good time with these kids. You tease them a little.
Sure.
You're not afraid to make them laugh.
Yeah.
As they're going. Are you making classical music cool?
See, my problem is I've always thought it was cool. And as a matter of fact, I think a lot of people think it was cool for a long time. I mean, even somebody as serious as Itzhak Perlman, if you catch Itzhak Perlman backstage, you know, he can tell more and better jokes than anybody. I mean, so people are having a good time. I mean, when I first played with James Galway, you know, I had always been in awe of him as an artist. And so I said, here I am. I get to collaborate with this man on a daily basis, play some concerts together. I'll find out what the secret is, you know, about this superstardom of his. What is the quality that he has that really gets across the footlights and makes these people so excited about him? And I realized he's very good at what he does, and he loves what he does. And I don't think there's anything cooler than that.
Christopher O'Reilly is a concert pianist and the host of the public radio show From the Top.